When I was first ordained, I was just in love with the idea of being a priest. So I wore my collar everywhere I went so that everyone would know that I was a priest. And what I found was that people started treating me differently when they realized that I was a preacher. So they'd say, "Oh, excuse me, Father, excuse my language, I didn't know that you were here." Sort of start to be a little more polite, you know, and a little more courteous, a little more reserved. And even people that were not religious, I found out, would sort of treat me a little differently. They would start to act a little differently. And I thought, well, why is it that people start to act differently just because I've become ordained? I haven't changed as a person. And I thought, well, you know, it's partly because a minister is kind of a parental figure. It's like having your mother or your father around. So you kind of, you know, you watch your P's and Q's if mom and dad are watching, and you clean up your language a little bit. So that's part of it. Sometimes I think that people think the minister has superpowers. I know what you're thinking. But I'm just a human being. I don't have any superpowers like that. I don't know what you're thinking. So that's not it. But I suppose the real reason is that because people think that the clergy represent God. And so if God is around, then God can see what I'm doing. And so people start to hide a little bit. So they can hide, and not, if God doesn't see it right, then God doesn't know about it, and I'm off free. I think that's the real reason a lot of people avoid church. I mean, God is in the church, right? So if I don't come to church, God's not going to see what I'm doing. So I'll just stay away, and I'm safe. People are like children playing hide-and-seek. They think, if I can't see you, then you can't see me. Like, God sees us, of course, but we have this idea that we can hide from God. Sometimes we hide from ourselves. That's why therapy can be so difficult and also so rewarding, because we have to acknowledge parts of us that we've repressed or we've pushed down. Oh, what do you mean I'm an angry person? I'm never angry. I'm always nice. Well, sometimes I might be a little angry inside, but I never show it. And the therapist says, well, tell me about this anger that you don't have. We hide from ourselves, and we hide from other people sometimes. We think, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. If you knew who I really am, my secret self, you would reject me. And so we take some parts of ourselves and we put them in a box, and we don't let other people see them. Even people who are very close to us, our family and our spouse sometimes, we don't reveal everything about us. There are some things that are so personal and so intimate and so tender that we just don't share those things. You know, I think you never really know another person fully. We are too complex. There's too many layers. There's such a mystery about every human being that we never really know another human being. Humans are so deep and so mysterious. So sometimes we hide from ourselves. Sometimes we hide from others. So it's not surprising that we hide from God. You remember the story in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where God is walking in the garden during the evening breeze, and he's looking for Adam and Eve, and he can't find them. He says, "Where are you?" They're hiding, because they had eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they knew that they were naked and they were ashamed. They were hiding from God. I think we've been hiding from God ever since. Our psalm today, Psalm 139, is one of the most beautiful and lyrical and profound pieces of poetry in all of literature. The psalmist says, "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar." And what the psalmist is saying is, you can't hide from God. No matter where you go, God is there. You can't hide. God is everywhere. He says, "You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways." You remember the story of Jonah in the Old Testament? Jonah was told by God to go preach repentance to the people of Nineveh, and he didn't want to do it. And he knew that God was the God of Israel, so he figured, well, if I just leave Israel, then I'm okay. So he gets on a ship to take a journey, and he figures he's gotten away from God. But a big storm comes up, and the sailors are afraid that they're going to sink and lose the ship and drown. And so they say, "Who's responsible for this storm?" And Jonah said, "It's me. I'm running away. I'm hiding from God." So they threw him overboard, and he went to the depths of the sea and to the bottom of the ocean. Even at the bottom of the ocean, he could not hide from God, because God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah, and he stayed 3 days in the belly of the fish until he spit him out on dry land, and he had to go to Nineveh anyway. You can't hide from God. The psalmist goes on. He says, "Indeed, there is not a word upon my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. Even our inner thoughts are known by God." God knows everything about us. That's why prayer is so difficult and so revealing. The Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit searches our hearts when we pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Prayer can be very revealing, very intimate. So whoever wrote this psalm, Psalm 139, way back in the mists of time, maybe 3,000 years ago, knew that God is everywhere. He says, "If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand hold me fast." Beautiful poetry. God is everywhere. The psalmist knows that he cannot hide, but what I think is so fascinating about this psalm is that that knowledge does not make him afraid or ashamed, but it makes him feel wonder and awe. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain to it." The psalmist is full of wonder and awe that God knows us, and yet God loves us. So just think about it. You know, if God knows everything about us, if God knows all our thoughts, all our feelings, everything we've been through, all our experiences, our hurts, our hopes, our dreams, if God made us from the very beginning, even in our mother's womb, he put us together, then if that's all true, then God understands us completely. And God knows us, and God loves us. We are fully known and fully loved by God. My Aunt Betty died 2 years ago at the age of 94. And she chose Psalm 139 for her memorial service. And when I heard that, I realized Aunt Betty is telling us something. She's giving us a message. And the message is, I know that God knows me and loves me, and I'm not afraid to die. You know, the psalm says, if I say, surely the light around me will turn to night and the light turn to darkness. Darkness is not dark to you, O Lord. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike. She knew that she was surrounded by God and that she was loved and God would take care of her no matter what happened. The other passage that she chose for her memorial service was that those wonderful words at the end of chapter 8 of Romans. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will life or death or angels or rulers or powers or things to come or things present or life or death, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We are fully known and we are fully loved. We have nothing to hide. Amen.